This live edition of the Madhouse Chicago Hockey Podcast is brought to you by Triple Threat Sports. For all your team outfitting needs, call Chris at 708-478-6090. The Black Oak and Oak Lawn, the South Suburbs' finest casual upscale dining.
Yeah, it's a word.
And Marishka's in Crest Hill, family owned and operated since 1933. Let's drop the puck.
Welcome to the Madhouse Chicago Hockey Podcast with NBCChicago.com's James Naveau.
It's not even so much me as it's Ronick. He's good.
And 670 The Score's hockey guy, Jay Zawoski.
You don't play this game with a big heart and a big bag of knuckles in front of the net. You don't got dinky-doo.
Welcome into a very weird, very live, very video-y edition of the Madhouse Chicago Hockey Podcast. My name is James Naveau from NBCChicago.com and The Athletic. And with me, in person today, for once, I get to see this beautiful ginger man, Jay Zawoski of 670 The Score. Jay, I almost forgot what you looked like.
Yeah, sorry to disappoint you. It's a reminder of what you had been missing. Not good, especially early in the morning after a late night last night. Went out to dinner and many drinks with some old friends from grade school. We were at Tribes in Tinley Park from 7:30 until 12:30.
Excellent establishment.
It's a long time to be in a restaurant. Mm-hmm. And they were setting the tone by putting the tables on the chair, you know, putting the chairs up, very subtly telling us they were trying to close.
Like, hey, get the hell out of here.
All right, okay, we're leaving.
Well,
thank you, though.
Yeah, I was out at the casino until about 3 in the morning last night. So,
damn, yeah. How'd you do?
I broke even, basically.
That's winning.
It's annoying, is what it is. I either want to lose my money or I want to come home a winner. I don't want to come home like I gambled for like 3.5 hours and made nothing.
But what it did is you paid for your night of entertainment.
That is fair. I did.
So it's not so bad.
The Wheel of Fortune slot ended up being the one thing the entire night that actually really paid for me. I put in like $20, two spins, boom, $180. So that essentially paid for the rest of my evening.
That's it. That's winning. Mm-hmm. That's winning. Whenever I go to Vegas, if I come home with the same amount of money I left with, sans, you know, meals and stuff, I'm happy. But if you're just joining us, welcome to our first ever live edition of the Madhouse Chicago Hockey Podcast. We're live on Facebook Live. And then if you can't stay for the whole thing or you jumped in late, the whole thing will be available as a typical Madhouse podcast on iTunes and all that stuff as the day goes on. Probably 20, 30 minutes after we wrap up.
We've got our fancy recording. And, hey, you don't actually have to, like, mix the audio today. You just can throw it on the internet.
Thank God.
Yeah.
It has been a biatch the last couple weeks to do that. I don't know what the difference has been, but we've had the recording stop a couple times, and then I have to find where things are. And I think people, if they listened last week, noticed there's maybe 10 seconds of where I incorrectly spliced something
that you didn't feel like, you know, fixing. And frankly, I don't blame you.
Yeah, it was the Roosevelt conversation.
Yeah,
so
who needs to fix that? Yeah
it didn't matter anyway. It wasn't that important. All right, so the Hawks win 2 in a row. They're just rolling along, man. Last night, after a very slow first period against Nashville, Patrick Kane scores, and from there, the Hawks sort of start rolling. One thing that troubles me from last night, and it's sort of been a thing kind of historically for the Hawks, is they give up quick goals right back.
They really do.
You know, and I don't know really if there's anything to that aside from coincidence or just letting down, or but it's a trend, and it's something that I'd like to see them address. But again, like I said, they've done it forever. It's been that way forever. So what really is there? What can you do?
Well, yeah, like what strategically can you do differently? Like,
try harder.
Yeah.
The Bruce Boudreau method.
It's all an effort thing, clearly. And I like the Bruce Boudreau method. That's excellent. It's worked very well in the playoffs, too.
Yes. Yeah. Well, we'll see if it's going to work this year. And the Hawks have passed the Minnesota Wild. So they still have, the Wild have 3 games in hand, I believe.
Yes, it's 3. And,
yeah.
And today they'll knock one off of that. I forget who they played today, but the Wild are in action this afternoon, evening, whatever. Time is a relative construct anyway.
And a flat circle.
Yeah. Ooh, yes.
Nice.
Yes, Rusty, yeah. Yes.
By the way, if anyone has a question, we are taking questions live on the Facebook feed. We're monitoring it as well. We look really good, by the way.
Yeah.
And I have to compliment my Triple Threat Sports Black Oak Marishka's display. We had Ramblin' Grimace put up for us.
Of course he did.
He put that together for us.
He is a god among men.
Yeah, we're trying to be professional. We got the bobblehead collection here. We've got Jocelyn Thibault. His head comes right off.
Holy
just like
crap.
That.
Yeah.
We got a Jonathan Toews. And Alex Jamnov, my favorite. Look at the expression on his face. He looks excited to be here, doesn't he?
He looks excited that he got traded for Jeremy Roenick.
You got Hossa there, Nicholas Jalmerson, Joel Quenneville.
I would say the Hossa one's my favorite because it's evocative of the 2010 game against Nashville.
And it's clearly Martin Havlat. It has changed the number in jersey,
okay,
apparently.
Look, you got to realize there are only a certain number of, like, molds, I guess you would call it. I almost called it a font, and that would have been incorrect.
I think mold is the right word for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, clearly that was a Martin Havlat bobblehead that was changed at the last moment.
What's that Joel Quenneville one, like a throwback Paul Newman one? Is that what they were going
He's
for?
Got more hair than he actually does in that one, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It looks like he went to that place that Eddie Olczyk went to.
His head also comes off because Eddie used to sleep with that.
I'm sure this is riveting, by the way. For people on the podcast especially, yeah. Like when they listen to this on Tuesday, they're going to be like, what the hell were you guys doing?
We're talking about our bobbleheads. Just Google all the bobbleheads we talk about and play along at home.
Yeah.
It's like, an interactive
podcast. It'll be like a Google, like a bingo game pretty much.
Yeah.
Madhouse Chicago Hockey Podcast Bingo. We have to do that since we don't have Addie here for Fashion Week.
We don't have her. She's very disappointed, too. She's at CCD learning about Jesus right now, and she'll come home and tell us all these Bible facts.
Yep.
It'll be great. But
what I'm going to tell her she needs to do is tell you some false Bible facts and see if you guys notice.
I have been a Catholic school person my entire life. I am a pretty good Bible trivia. You can't stump me, really.
Is it bad that I don't know what CCD stands for?
I don't know what it is either.
Oh, okay.
Catholic Children's Demonization.
Your homework assignment for this week, podcast listeners, come up with what CCD should stand for.
Yeah, but don't look it up. Just guess.
Yeah. No, yeah, if they give us the right answer, we're not going to honor that.
No,
all.
Yeah.
No. Most creative.
We don't want the actual answer.
No, I do have a homework assignment suggestion, but that's for later.
All right, sounds good. What else did you see last night it's just we're so at the point now where it's, please, God, get us to the playoffs. Maybe that's what I'll tell Eddie to talk about in CCD, is pray for the Hawks playoffs to start early somehow. Because these regular season games have just become, they're playing great. I'm very happy. And until the playoffs begin, what more is there to say aside from keep it going, gang? Thumbs up.
I think what stood out to me more so than just like the level of play last night was how certain guys stepped up in the absence of Nick Jalmerson last night.
Yeah.
Number one on that list, and I've railroaded him all season long, Brian Campbell had a really good game last night.
Well, and that game winner was a thing of beauty. And that play right there is why you bring Brian Campbell into play.
Throughout the game, I had been commenting that he looked excellent defensively. He was doing a really nice job at the blue line, pinching in, knocking the puck away from Nashville as they tried to enter the zone. Trevor Van Riemsdyk did the same thing a few times. It was really a mind-bending experience seeing those guys do so well defensively, and then every time down the ice, Brent Seabrook would get caught flat-footed and guys would skate around him.
Yeah, that was a weird night for Seabrook last night. You can see him and Keith get split. Was it the Arvidsson goal or was that Yarncroc that split them?
I believe it was Yarncroc.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, what team in the league has better names than Nashville does?
That's a good question. They've got some outstanding names.
Yeah.
Yarncroc.
Yarncroc is seriously one of the coolest names I've ever heard.
Yeah. You're right about that. But see, Seabrook got sort of caught flat-footed there. Still a nice goal. The first Arvidsson goal, where he was backing up and just kind of got caught sort of between steps as well.
Yep.
You know me. I'm Brent Seabrook's biggest fan. I'm his biggest supporter. But that, you know, not
well,
great. But
he needs it, though. He needs you to be his fanboy.
He does?
I think so.
Why is that?
Everyone criticizes his contract. It's one of the top five worst in NHL history, remember?
Oh, my God. That's something I saw this week. Yeah.
I know, because
top five worst contracts in the league.
Yeah, and I was like, no.
No.
I don't think so.
He can play. He's a good player.
He's actually capable of playing hockey, which is weird. By the way, we are getting some comments in here. Do you think I should
fire him up?
Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to dig into this here. Let's start with see if there's any compliments of me or you.
I doubt it.
Like the Arizona gear, James. Thank you, Jeffrey. I'm wearing the Arizona State hockey jersey today. I got my Mesa Solar Sox hat on.
Powerhouse hockey program.
You know what, though? I am honestly very impressed with how far they've come in two freaking years as a Division I program. Pretty great.
Yeah, in 2 years, it's pretty good.
Let's see. Paul Tobeck. Hi, guys.
Hey, Paul. What's
Hi,
up,
Paul.
Man?
Ken Bockelman. This is already better than SportsCenter. Okay, he's thrown out. we're not dealing with that. Bill Yonka, the king of Kankakee.
Oh, the king. The mayor.
Yes. This podcast smells like a Marishka's, poor boy.
I went to Marishka's Friday.
I saw that. You posted that on Twitter. How was it?
I got the Icelandic cod.
Well, you had to. It was Friday.
It was two big pieces of fish.
Mm-hmm.
Mac and cheese, like the cheesiest mac and cheese ever.
Oh, that's a way to my heart.
Salad came first. We ordered the onion rings. And then a lost art in restaurants, the parsley on the plate.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, man.
And then the basket of cracker breadsticks. These are two things that restaurants have abandoned.
The only place in the Kankakee area that I know of that still does the parsley thing regularly, it's a diner called Yanni's, and it's in Manteno, which is just north of Bourbonnais. And you're right, it classes it up big time, and it's definitely a good throwback.
Well, maybe just, you know, businesses see it as an expense not needed anymore.
And it's not like anyone shoves that in their mouth and eats it usually.
The parsley?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
It's purely decorative.
Weirdly enough, I have seen somebody eat it, and it was a very odd experience, and I don't want to relive it particularly.
Yeah, that doesn't sound good.
No.
Addie was just looking at, what is this? Do I have to eat this? No, you're fine. You don't have to eat it. But the cod was fantastic. Well, we'll talk more about it during their sponsored read.
Yes, exactly.
Marishka, there they are.
Jason Holter, this is the worst Sunday school lesson ever.
Yeah.
There's Jason, no we that. Need to tell you about Jesus.
He was a guy, and he lived and died, and then flew to heaven.
Paul Toback. Paul Toback with an excellent question. 2-2 with points. What's up with that? First of all, Nashville should be contracted for that.
Well, last night was the Jordan 2-2 game.
Yes.
He had a fight.
And a goal.
Drew a penalty that led to a goal.
Yes, he did.
And a goal, which he is basically totally responsible for. Won that puck on the boards, made a nice pass to the point to Keith, right to Seabrook, shot in front block, came out in front and sniped it.
See, to me, that was the best part of the entire play, was that. That winning the puck battle was crazy. It was so good.
I like him. I know that he doesn't have much left as a player. I know he can contribute very little offensively, but when he's on the ice, I feel like he's not a detriment. Let's put it that way. It's not a guy that's going to, oh my God, he's out there. Let's just hope we don't get scored on, right? Mm-hmm. That's not the idea. I think 2-2 can still, their possession is good. When that line's on the ice, they're in the offensive zone a lot. At least it seems that way.
Right.
Without looking at the net, like I said, I was out till
And you're not knowing whether it's sheltered minutes, blah, blah, blah. You know, I'm sure the stat geeks will yell at us.
But that's what a fourth line is for.
Mm-hmm.
It is going to be sheltered
Completely
minutes.
Completely agree.
Yeah. So when they're out there, if they can have some sort of positive, even if it doesn't end up in the net, it's a good thing. And I don't want him in totally meaningful games, but a guy like that's going to be valuable to have if playoff series against the Ducks or the Blues or maybe LA, start to get real physical, it's a guy you can put out there for 5-6 minutes a game. Because listen, I don't want to do this too soon, but Thomas Yurko has shown literally nothing, good or bad. It's almost as if he's not there.
Ah, he finally did a thing last night, though.
Yeah. That was the one time.
Yes. Well, he got bumps at top line last night. By the way, I was asking somebody this. It wasn't a performance thing with Ryan Hartman, was it? I don't feel like he was playing bad last night.
No, I don't think so.
I think it was just a line balance thing, honestly, is what I was kind of getting the vibe for.
I don't mind giving – I think Yurko seems like the kind of guy that if he's going to have success, it's not – like we talked about with Nick Schmaltz. I know they're not the same level of talent by any means, but – Yurko, watching him play through, what, 3-4 games now, he's not a bottom six.
You're right about that.
It's a guy you've got to find a spot for in the top six. And if they can't, or if they feel he's not worthy of it, maybe they let him walk in this summer or try to get a pick for him or something, because
I bet you could ship him out and get – you're not going to get a third-round pick for him. I feel like the Blackhawks paid a little bit extra because of, you know, the incentive of changing scenery, and maybe that bumps him up. I think get like a – fifth-round pick for him, maybe. Fourth, fifth-round pick. And fifth-round picks can be useful because they got Andrew Shaw in the fifth round, didn't they?
Yes. And see, I'm not – I feel bad because it's way too early to draw any conclusion on him at all. But I've just –
it's never too early in the cap era, ever.
Yeah, you're right about that. I haven't seen much from him yet. And I hope that maybe with, you know, Schmaltz out, we'll see him get some top minutes here. But Schmaltz is going to be back in a couple, you know, next time they play –
Knock wood.
Yeah. So I don't know, trying to knock wood
without knocking the show laptop off the table.
I appreciate it. It is perilously close to the edge, but I think we're okay.
I liked what Kevin Peake said. Tutu found the fountain of middle age last night.
He did. Well, you gotta, you know, you gotta have those games every now and again. You know, you gotta have those role players step up, and what a time to do it. You know, they're shorthanded up front and on the blue line, and that's another thing I want to talk to you about too. Is the Johnny Oduya waiting, you know, three months to play, apparently.
I did want to mention before we move away from Jordan Tutu, I still insist that fight was stupid last night. That did not change the momentum of
the
game for me.
That's what Patrick Kane said.
Sorry, Pat.
It was the turning
point. Sorry, Patrick. You literally ended a good scoring chance by getting into that fight. The Blackhawks had a rush going, and he decided, I'm going to throw down with Cody McLeod.
You could tell that he had already decided that his first shift on the ice, he was going to fight.
Well, I thought he had gotten a hit from Cody McLeod earlier in the game.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I thought that was like a retribution thing. Well, get your retribution some other time, bro.
Oh, he wants to fight in the town where he had the bulk of his career, and they liked him there. Yep. I went to a game at the Bridgestone, I think it was 2011, somewhere around there, when he was still in Nashville, and every time he was on the ice, they gave the crowd train whistles.
Mm.
And every time it was like, toot, toot. It was the most annoying and lamest thing ever.
Is it more or less annoying than chanting you suck at the goaltender?
More.
I basically went in on Nashville fans last night.
Well, they're not smart.
I was hot taking like crazy on Nashville fans last night. Just all night long, everything they did. I was like, you guys are loud. You guys are passionate. You guys are fun. Stop with this Bush League nonsense that you do.
Well, I think, you know, maybe in the early days of a franchise, you want to have those sort of things so fans know how to get involved and fans know how to participate, and it keeps them engaged.
I guess.
Like, okay, if this happens, you do this, right? It's a way to sort of coach them through and keep them paying attention. But now that they've established themselves as a legitimate franchise, a team that I thought could possibly win the Stanley Cup this year, it's time to abandon that stuff or tone it down a little bit.
Mm.
The goalie chant is something that every fan base does. But as you become a smarter fan, there's a time to do it.
Not when you're losing.
Right. That would be advice. That'd be my first piece of advice for the goalie chant, would be to not do it while you're losing. Do you have any more questions from the audience there?
Somebody suggesting that I turn the Starbucks logo towards the camera. I believe that is Brian Kahn. He coaches Clifton Central Baseball.
No, they're not paying.
Shout out to point. Screw you, Starbucks.
Ads, jerks.
Yeah. Oh, Ken Bockelman asks, what are you guys' opinions of the Predators' yellow buckets?
I actually like them.
You like the piss buckets?
I suppose, yes.
Okay.
I'm a fan of piss buckets.
Yeah,
you can cut that one up and use it later.
Yeah.
But I think it's unique. Every team just goes with the default, you know, black or
boring,
whatever their darkest color is.
They have blue also, right?
They navy blue.
Mm-hmm.
I think the yellow looks cool. It stands out. If you're going to wear a jersey that bright,
go for the gusto.
Well. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I actually do like it. I do. It's ugly,
mm-hmm.
but I like it. I like the idea behind
it. You like ugly yet distinctive.
Not always, but I think that the fact that they're pulling, you know, they're drawing attention to, we know a lot of people don't like this yellow and we're just going to own it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm into that. I like that.
I like that you didn't give me an opportunity to make a wisecrack about looking in the mirror. That was really professional of you.
Yeah, I thought so. By the way, if you want to buy yourself a yellow Nashville Predators jersey, you'll have to go somewhere else for the helmet. But Triple Threat Sports, they can hook you up with a jersey, of course. You can get it lettered there. It'll look just like it looks on the ice. You can get yourself a PK Subban jersey, feel better about yourself if you have to wear a yellow Predators jersey.
Yeah.
But not only can Triple Threat make great jerseys for you, they can make great jerseys and uniforms for your teams. Beer and Pizza League, Rad Hockey Team, whatever you want to do, Triple Threat Sports can make your jerseys, hundreds of them, a dozen of them, five of them, whatever you need. They will help you out. They'll also help you design the logo, the off-ice apparel, everything you would need for your team, you can do it. And it's not just hockey, football, baseball, softball, lacrosse, everything you can imagine. Triple Threat will help you out with those. So call Chris, 708-478-6090. That's 708-478-6090. Or email him for more info at chris@triplethreatsports.com. Triple Threat Sports, if you can wear it, they can make it. And they are also the suppliers of our Patreon goods. So if you have donated to us before or would like to, visit patreon.com/madhousepod And there's all kind of goodies there created and distributed by our friend Chris at Triple Threat Sports.
I like how multiple people, when I said ugly yet distinctive, immediately defaulted to the Wild. Defaulted to their logo.
It's just the logo.
That crying Jordan variation on it that we saw today was really
good. That
was
Joe from Marishka sent us that.
Speaking of Joe from Marishka's, I think he's commenting repeatedly, and I'm ignoring him.
Don't ignore him.
Fine, I won't. How about Kucherov shootout goal, eh? Not Blackhawks related, but that was a thing. Am I right?
I didn't see it.
It was pretty sweet. You know what? It's something that you see guys do in practice all the time where they literally they're like skating up with the puck. They let it roll, and they pretend to shoot, and just the puck keeps rolling. It's exactly what he did.
I love that goal.
And it went in.
That's the NHL EA Sports glitch goal.
That's right.
My guy fell off the puck and
just
rolled
in. And multiple people pointed that out last night. I thought that was fantastic. There was another EA Sports glitch last night. The Avalanche, one of their players, had a breakaway last night. And instead of shooting the puck, he turned around and tried to pass it to a teammate and got the puck intercepted. Just the stupidest thing you could possibly imagine. The hockey IQ in Denver is real good. I wonder what could possibly contribute to that. What does Colorado have that's illegal that could potentially make bad decisions happen?
Skiing?
There you go. Yep,
that must
skiing.
Be it. Yep,
well, it did kill Sonny Bono, so clearly skiing is a bad decision.
Yeah, bad matchup.
Wait a minute. Is it too soon? Podcast poll question. Is it too soon to make Sonny Bono jokes?
No, because he was like kind of a joke when he was alive for the most part.
Alex Brodke asks, can they make me a Yuri Seacash Blackhawks jersey?
I think so.
Of course they can.
I don't know why you would want that, but go for it.
And by the way, he has the best nickname in the NHL, Cakes. Duh.
Cakes is pretty good.
You have to do it. It's his name backwards.
Yeah, I like that one.
Did you know that Jordan Tutu's name backwards is Oot Oot? He's very Canadian, that guy is.
We're only 21 minutes into this, and you've already gone to backwards names?
Yes.
All right.
You know what? It's a live podcast.
You were up till three.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, I gambled all my intelligence away, clearly.
There you go. I'll bet you 6 brain cells on black.
Yeah, that sounds like something we would say after a night of drinking.
It's red. Sorry, you lost.
Like that episode of The Simpsons. Hello, Vegas. Give me 200 on red.
Don't! Exactly. Exactly. By the way, since we're, we try to be as fair as we can on this podcast.
No, we don't.
I do have to give a little bit of credit to Michael Roosevelt.
Yes.
Who's played pretty well over the last few games since Hjalmarsson's been out. Again, limited time, but what you want from a guy like that is to go out there, like I said about Tutu, and just not make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
And for the most part, he's done pretty well.
Especially Friday. I thought he looked really good.
He was really good Friday.
Yeah.
For sure. So I want to make sure he gets his props. We tear him apart. We make fun of him because he's old. We make ageist jokes about him. But he has elevated his game a little bit. And God help us if he plays in the playoffs.
Right.
But for the time being, he's doing a good job holding it down.
I've had several listeners comment that they thought Michael Kempney looked really good the last couple games, too.
I think he's been playing his best hockey.
Yeah.
Period.
Mm-hmm.
Because, a couple weeks ago I said, it's starting to not look so good.
It's starting to look like he shouldn't be in your top six come playoff time, but apparently he listens to the podcast and turned things around. I'm going to go ahead and give us credit for that like I did with the Ryan Hartman thing.
Well, here's the thing. If he continues this level of play, Johnny Oduya's back, Nicholas Hjalmarsson's back, is Quenneville going to opt for him over Trevor Van Riemsdyk? I don't think so.
I think ultimately what you're going to have is you're going to have Keith and Seabrook as the top pair. You're going to have Hjalmarsson and Oduya, and you're going to have Campbell and TVR. I think those are going to be your three pairings, I think. Kempney and Roosevelt, I think, will be the odd men out when those two guys come back and they're able to set their defensive lineup the way they want.
It bugs me because it almost feels like no matter how well Kempney plays, it doesn't matter to Q. Because Q's one of those guys that he sort of makes his mind up right away.
Yeah.
And you have to absolutely, totally prove him wrong to earn a spot and earn his trust again. And I feel like Kempney, early this year and even recently a little bit, has struggled when he's not in the lineup consistently. Now that we've seen him in playing regular time, getting more adjusted to the NHL game, his game has really gotten better. And I think he's earned the right to stay when Oduya and Hjalmarsson return. And
I agree.
And I hope that's what happens. I really do.
We'll see. I think with 17 games in 31 days, I think they're really going to mix and match, hopefully. Hopefully they don't just set lines and leave them.
Yeah.
I want them to experiment a little bit. I want them to play the best six defensemen when the playoffs roll around.
Well, what else did you just sort of as we lead into playoffs here, we're about a month out from the playoffs beginning. What do you want to see in the next month to make yourself feel as confident as you can about the playoffs?
Frankly, I want to see if Patrick Kane can maintain even close to this level of scoring that he's on. Because, frankly, I think he's back in the MVP race now.
Yeah.
I think he's right up there with guys like Sidney Crosby and Connor McDavid. I really feel like Kane has reinserted himself. He's got, what, 28 goals now? I think he's like top two or three in the league in scoring. I mean, he has been doing incredible stuff offensively and been a big part of the reason why the Blackhawks have won, what, seven in a row now?
Yeah.
I mean, he's really – I know Jonathan Toews is getting a lot of pub, and rightfully so, but Patrick Kane's been on fire lately.
Well, and I wonder – you mentioned Toews. It sort of triggered a thought in my mind here that perhaps Toews' well-publicized early struggles help Kane's MVP cause a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it gives it a little more credence because – he's been doing this, and Panarin hasn't been scoring. He scored the other night, obviously, but that was his
one
first...
One-trick pony, Artemi Panarin.
How did he score?
One-timer.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I mean, people were coming at me in the shootout. Like, oh, look at that. That wasn't a one-timer. What's a shootout?
True. He doesn't have the one-timer option.
Does he ask the ref to kick the puck to him?
I will say... His play on the empty net goal last night was fantastic. It was a great hustle play along the boards. It was a great pass to Patrick Kane to set that up. But to your point, again, literally the night you said one-trick pony, he went out and scored a one-timer goal.
I feel this is taking on a life of its own a little bit, and I'm playing along with it.
Obviously.
I don't really think he's a one-dimensional player, but I want to see him create goals in other ways, get to the net. You know, he's good at playmaking, for sure. He can set people up beautifully. That's why he's an awesome player.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see him put the puck in the net in a different way.
Yeah.
As opposed to standing out
at
the face-off dot on
the
left and scoring one-timers. It's not going to work in the playoffs.
You're so demanding.
You can joke with me all you want. They can't win a cup with him standing at the blue line on the dot at the face-off dot waiting for a one-timer.
You going along with this bit reminds me of the very first comment that I ever got on the Madhouse Enforcer blog on NBC. Which was that Duncan Keith was all hat and no cattle. And from that point on, every time I see Duncan Keith, I think of that comment and the guy saying that he'd rather have Brent Sopel than Duncan Keith.
Oh, my God. Come on.
Speaking of which, Brent Sopel's doing Dancing with Chicago Celebrities, I think, next week.
That's exciting.
Along with Peggy Kaczynski of NBC Chicago. So if you guys are in the area, go out and do that. There. I have plugged something.
Speaking of that, non-hockey, real quick, just a quick Cubs departure.
Oh, God.
David Ross is Dancing with the Stars. He was played with the Harlem Globetrotters. He's doing Kellogg's commercials.
Mm-hmm.
I am afraid we are reaching the level of David Ross fatigue.
Are you worried about David Ross saturation?
I think so. I think we are right there.
Is he going to need to get a Depends sponsorship?
Sooner than later,
I'm sorry. That was terrible.
That was another ageist joke by you.
Yeah, you know what? That's what we do on this podcast.
Make ageist jokes?
Obviously.
That could be worse.
Yeah, there are worse things that we could do.
They won't be mad long. They'll be dead soon.
Let's see. Is anyone commenting? Oh, yes. Jason Holter, one-trick pony, but it's one of the best tricks in the league.
I agree. I just wonder if it can work long-term. And before I give Artemi Panarin... $6.5-7 million. I want to see a guy that can create goals in a different way.
Hey, look, we have a dog.
The dog's here. Hi, Ray.
Hi, Ray.
No one can see her, but she's under the table.
We assure you the dog is there.
She's definitely here.
Yes. Should we describe her? She's got fire coming out of her eyes.
Yes. She doesn't like James.
Clearly.
No, she's taking you. She's coming and sitting by you.
Yeah, that's kind of...
That's a good sign.
Yeah, it's a good sign. We're making progress. By the way, several listeners asking if we can do this during a game. I don't think that's legally allowed.
Just put it on behind us.
Yeah, I don't.
That was good. We'll just thumbs up and thumbs down the game.
I don't think we're allowed to do that. Unfortunately, I don't think we can MSTK that.
No, maybe I can. I can. You know what? I do have.
Oh God, he's digging into his bag
crates.
Of toys.
This is what we can do.
Wait, is this what we are?
We got the Sega Sonic.
Wait, NHL 94.
Oh,
right?
You know it's in there. I just gotta find it.
Yeah.
Let's see here. There's 93. That's the unofficial.
See, that's what we should do. We should have a live podcast where you just thump me at NHL 94.
Bad 96. It's in here. I promise. I got it. We'll have a podcast tournament. We're talking about this.
You know, I've actually got that same banner.
They can't see that one.
Whatever. They can barely see the bobbleheads. and yet.
I got to put something on the wall here and here. We'll figure something out. We'll get it worked out. Do you have a sin bin? I haven't done much wrong in the last 3 days.
I have a sin bin, actually.
All right, let's do it.
It involves animals, too.
Reminding you, family podcast. Go ahead.
Jay was marking where to add the sin bin sound effect in. Sorry to the Facebook Live crew. You're not going to be able to hear that.
Yeah, they won't get the open.
Yeah, well, things happen.
All right, let's hear it.
Let's enter the sin bin on the Madhouse Chicago Hockey Podcast.
You go to the box, you know, 2 minutes by yourself, and you feel shame, you know, and then you get free.
Okay, so you know how when you get a dog, you can blame that dog when you create a mess, and it's an instantly acceptable alibi for anything that you do. I do a similar thing with my cat, except it's not that. It's when I yell obscenities at the TV while playing video games, and my wife asks me, well, what's wrong? What's going on? The cat did something, and I was yelling at him. So my cat Critter, who everyone that follows me on social media has seen because I'm an idiot and I love my cat apparently, I use him as an alibi, and I feel sort of guilty about it because I do it way more often than I should.
All right, it's a good confession from you.
I think it's a 2 minute minor. I don't think it's an awful thing, but
it's a bench minor.
It's definitely something you should feel bad about, though. Like, I used my poor defenseless cat as an alibi for my idiocy.
I guess my sin bin confession this week would be not knowing what CCD stands for, despite being a 39-year-old Catholic who's gone through nothing but Catholic school all through college. I should probably know what that stands for. But that's it. I've not done much in the last couple days.
Yeah.
What, we podcasted on what, Thursday?
Wednesday?
I'm trying to think. Have I done anything horrifically evil? No. Rachel Dolezal, still hot.
That is such a weird thing.
Still like the wild.
I'm giving you a double minor for that one, by the way, because it's 2 minutes for thinking she's hot and 2 minutes for her being generally bad.
She's bad. I said during the confession that she's a detestable human being.
That's the point of the confession, though, is that you find someone attractive bad. There you go. Like someone bad attractive. Whatever. English are hard. Okay?
English are hard. You're right. Yeah. All right. Well, that abbreviated version of the sin bin was brought to you by our friends at Marishka's. Right there.
What a beautiful logo that there people can't see when they listen to this podcast.
Drive down
on Tuesday.
Theodore Street and you'll see that sign. And it'll be bigger than that, though.
We assure you, it's huge. It's huge.
It's huge.
Huge.
It's the bigliest sign in the world. 604 Theodore Street in Crest Hill, just west of Route 53. 815-723-9371. Family owned and operated since 1933. Third and fourth generations of the Zdralovich family. Said it right that time.
You did.
I can't think about it. I know it's Zdralovich, but when I think about saying it right, I can't say it right. I'm going to skip the script. I'm going to talk to you about what happened this weekend when I went.
Please share your experience at the Zdralovich family's fine establishment.
Yeah, so as I'm a loose Catholic. I'm a lapsed Catholic. I don't go to church. I just don't. I try to live my life in a good way. That's how I do it instead, because I don't think sitting there and being bored for an hour is really helping me do much, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I treat people well. I treat people with respect. That's how I live my life. What would Jesus do is what I say.
Oh, my God.
Copyright.
Wow.
TM Jay Zawoski, WWJD.
You're treading into some weird territory right now.
So on Fridays during Lent, we cannot have meat. So Joe and Marishka's tweeted about their special, the Icelandic cod beer battered with a salad, mac and cheese, $9.99.
I think it's pretty good.
It was outstanding. And I was full, but not like sick full. And because all the food is homemade there, if you went to some fast food place and had their fish that was breaded, you'd be like real logy and tired.
You'd be regretting your life decision.
Yes. Did not have that feeling at all at Marishka's. It was terrific. Everyone around us, though, getting the poor boys, I'm just kind of like looking over. Oh, that looks good. Well, I'm going to get that next time. Mm-hmm. Everything at Marishka's is outstanding. We got the onion rings, which were fantastic. Awesome. My favorite onion rings in the world. So go there. They've got a full bar with craft brews, banquet facilities for up to 110 people. So visit Marishka's.com and check them out on Facebook at Facebook.com/Marishka's. That's MERICHKAS. Open 7 days a week and close only on Christmas, Easter, the 4th of July, and Thanksgiving. We thank them for their continued support. One of our first and best sponsors. We love them more than we love our extended family.
Yeah, you can't say immediate family because your wife is upstairs.
She's upstairs.
Yeah. We did get a I got accused of hypocrisy. Salsa Shark has said that I was hating Nashville's fun last night. I get 2 minutes for hypocrisy.
But fun should not be dumb.
Well, sometimes fun can be dumb.
I suppose so. Like going to see a bad movie or something, right? But
fair enough.
I just think that they're... It makes them look like less than they are. They're good fans. They pay attention. They're engaged. They know
and,
the players.
And I repeatedly said that, too.
You did. You did. So I think as a smart fan base, they should come together and say, this is dumb. We look stupid. We should stop.
Yeah.
That's all.
I agree.
And I think in overtime it will happen.
I think it depends on which official is calling that, whether that's a penalty or not. So we're going to call that gray area.
Okay. I'm happy with that.
Am I allowed to make Catholicism jokes? Is that permitted on the podcast?
Bring them on, man.
When you said loose Catholic, I felt like that was redundant.
Why is that?
Catholics have sex all the time.
Oh. Yeah, only when they're married.
You procreate like jackrabbits, dude.
I don't. I only have one.
You're doing something wrong then, clearly.
You know, it is what it is, bro.
Well, at least you're a confirmed one-time sex addict. Congratulations.
One time, it was great. I remember it. 6.5 years ago.
Yeah.
What a day that was. You have done this. Don't blame me for that. You're like, oh, man, just derailed.
Hey, who's that bowling pin signed by over there in the corner?
Oh, I should have put that up there. That's the old Score Bowl-O-Rama bowling pin. It's signed by a lot of people.
Is Mike Murphy's name on there?
No, he does not. He did not do anything socially because he's a asswipe.
Oh yeah, did you hear what he said the other day about the Cubs?
Oh my god, I did. You can tell the people.
He was railing against Theo Epstein for trading DJ LeMahieu, just ripping into him, ripping him to shreds.
I saw that he did it. Did you actually hear it?
I did not.
I want to know what. I would love to know like what the argument was, and why it even came up.
I don't know
why.
I don't understand the plan, Jay.
Four months removed from a World Series.
Hey, that's 4 months without a World Series. We can start asking why they haven't won again.
Why would that come up? Why would you bring that up? He's such an asshole.
I don't
He's
know.
So weird.
Josh Micah, maybe?
Yeah, Mike. Mike Joshua?
Yes.
Josh Micah?
You can do it during a game. You just can't show the game. The TV would have to be off screen.
Oh, okay.
So
that doesn't sound entertaining for anyone.
I think that'd be horrifying.
When the Hawks won the Cup in 2015, Scott Farrell was on, maybe it was 2013, whatever year it was. Scott Farrell was on overnight radio when Les Gropstein was not there yet. I was waiting to go on, and he's literally doing play-by-play of the Hawks game. Have you ever heard Scott Farrell?
No.
He talks like this. This is his voice, and he's a radio guy.
Oh, is that guy from...
Oh, my God.
Oh, that's the guy that's on CBS Radio, right?
Yeah. So he's like, oh, you see that? What a save by Crawford.
I'm going to gamble with all my friends. He sounds like a 70-year-old grandma from Atlantic City.
So it sounds like he's got the voice thing,
like the guy from South Park.
The voice box.
I will say, though, it's a very distinctive voice.
You know he's on.
It's really... Like, I wish my voice was that distinctive,
Oh,
man.
It sounds painful. Anyway, he was just play-by-playing. Oh, my God. What a hit by Crawford. Oh, my God. It was just ridiculous.
Crawford made a hit.
Save. I hurt my voice doing that, see?
That was beautiful.
Oh, that was painful.
Ooh, man. we have a question from somebody with the name of Telgood. I like that.
Hello, Telgood.
Hello, Mr. or Miss Good. Do you think the Hawks should draft a goaltender in the first round this year?
No.
No.
Why?
You don't. Goaltenders in the NHL, you don't draft in the first round. Like that's
unless there's like a but even like Marc-Andre Fleury was a really high pick,
yeah,
right?
He was number one.
Yeah,
pick.
He was number one,
yeah.
And he was. I mean, he's good, but he's more of a
not
product of his team.
Number one pick,
of course not. And El Montoya was a really high pick.
Mm-hmm.
How'd that work out?
Not well.
Yeah, it's nah.
I wonder who killed his father. Sorry, that was a.
You are just ridiculous.
Princess
today.
Bride references
I
are
know
always
the reference.
Okay. Always okay.
Oh my God.
You know what?
You're not even a dad yet, and you're making dad
before
jokes.
Before the end of the show, I'm going to make a Mean Girls reference. That's going to happen.
I look forward to that.
Yeah.
I can't wait. That'll be really good.
But to answer the question, no, you don't draft goaltenders in the first round generally. And I haven't really done my draft research yet, but I kind of doubt there's going to be one that you'll draft that high anyway.
Well, speaking of drafts and speaking of sports topics that make you want to rip your face off.
Woo!
The trade deadline was last week. So since then, I've been fighting off Stan Bowman haters.
Why?
I don't. What are you unhappy about?
What are third round draft picks worth?
He didn't draft this, Corey. He should get no credit for this. What are you talking? So what is he supposed to do? He comes in for Dale Talon, and there's.
You don't think he helped at all with the draft?
If you don't think that, you're an idiot. I'm sorry. I hate to like generalize, but that is an idiotic thought, and you're just mad that.
You're mad at success.
Why do you not like him? What has Stan Bowman done to lose your faith or lose your? He let Saad go. He didn't have a choice.
A, he let Saad go. B, who'd you get in that trade?
And guess what?
You got Artem frickin' Anisimov.
Yeah, and if you want, and he put Patrick Kane
on
to
the map.
Two MVP seasons.
Yes.
Not on the map. That's a bit of a stretch.
Yeah. I was being deliberately grandiose. And
how long was that
hyperbolic.
A problem on this team?
Forever and ever.
And Brandon Saad's a nice player, of course. But you want to get mad at someone about that? How about get mad at Brandon Saad, who stayed completely out of the negotiations?
Yeah.
Like, oh, let my agent handle it. Then he gets traded to Columbus, so much so that he's on the Score airwaves 2 days later crying that he left Chicago.
Idiot.
I wish I would have been more involved if I knew. You're an idiot, sir. Your future's on the line. Millions and millions of dollars and your livelihood and your life. And you're going to let some agent handle it who just wants the most money for himself?
Why don't we have a bottle of Cholula on the table?
Well, it's annoying because I'm so tired of, like, how many championships do they need to win for people to have faith in Stan Bowman? Yes, he won it with Dale Talon's core. Great. What is he supposed to do?
Trade everybody
Trade
and get
them
his own guys.
To prove you wrong?
Mm-hmm.
Name me two GMs in hockey you'd rather have than Stan Bowman. I'll wait.
No.
Okay, so if he's top three, even if you could think of two, would you be satisfied with the top three GM in your sport? I think so.
I think I'm just satisfied the fact they won three Stanley Cups and I don't really care who drafted who.
It's maddening, and it's not like a straw man. It's not just a couple people.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that truly believe that Stan Bowman has nothing to do with this team winning.
He had no business even coming close to winning the Brandon Saad trade, and he did.
Yeah. The argument can be made that he won that trade. You can make that argument.
You absolutely can. And you can argue all you want that he overpaid Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews and Brent Seabrook. Guess what? They've won Stanley Cups. You have to overpay to keep guys like that. Period. End statement.
It's pretty common sense. And yeah, Brent Seabrook's contract does not look great. And now and again, there's an extra million here or there that Bowman gives that make you that you kind of grumble about.
Mm-hmm.
But he's paying his players market value.
Yep.
And that's why players want to play here. And that's why players want to stay here. Right?
Yep. Jason Holter points out that Dale Talon's so great that he's already been fired twice.
Exactly. Exactly.
Good call.
Nice. And it's not to say, like, if Stan Bowman had the number one pick, he wouldn't have taken Patrick Kane.
Why did the Blackhawks fire Dale Talon? Was it the fax thing with the qualifying offers, or was it kind of like the Joel Quenneville thing where
I think
they recognized that Dennis Savard had a limit and he had hit it and they wanted to get the proven guy in?
I think that – I don't know. I mean, we've all heard different things, right? Mm-hmm. I think that what you mentioned, the fax mistake, was sort of the, this is it, we can fire him now, mm-hmm. that they were waiting for.
Yep.
McDonough wanted Bowman in, and Scotty particularly was a guy he wanted on staff. Guy had him, and then Stan had been there for a long time.
Yeah,
and working up and working in the organization. It's not like they hired Stan Bowman off the street. He had been with the organization for 10 years before that.
Yeah, it's not like he was standing by the side of the Edens with a sign that said "Will Hockey GM
exactly.
for food."
It's not like Scotty came and said, "Here's my son, give him a job."
Yeah,
the guy had worked in hockey for
nepotism.
A decade. Right. He earned it. He earned a job, and he's proven that he should have it. Look at Artemi Panarin.
Yep.
He got him.
Went
he
out.
He got Michael Kempney.
Went
Kempney
out.
Was another guy that a lot of organizations were after.
Mm-hmm.
All those, like Dennis Rasmussen is an international find, right?
Yep.
Tanner Carroll, college free agent, contributing. Yep. I mean, how much more proof do you need?
And look at some of the guys that he has drafted, too. He drafted Brandon Saad. He drafted Andrew Shaw. He got Nick Schmaltz. I mean, he has gone out and gotten a lot of quality young players.
I don't know what the argument is anymore. Aside from it's not his core. Fine. It's not his core. But guess what? He kept them together when contracts came up. He knew which guys to keep and which to get rid of, which ones would be mm-hmm. beneficial to keep around, and who was expendable.
And he made the single biggest decision that he has made in his entire career, when he kept Nick Jalmerson over Antti Niemi.
That's it. That's the trophy right there.
Yep.
Because I think if you polled most Hawks fans that summer, way more than half would have said Niemi.
Yep.
Because they fall in love with the goalie. He was the backup goalie to start the year. Came and was a star and won the Stanley Cup. Nicholas Jalmerson was sort of a no-nonsense. He's still kind of that way.
And San Jose knew it, and they wanted him.
They wanted him badly. And that's why they did that to the Hawks. And offer. Which one did they offer sheet? Both of them?
No, just they offer-sheeted Jalmerson. The Blackhawks right. matched it. But then when the arbitrator came back with the number on Niemi, the Blackhawks said no to it. And
away.
San Jose immediately signed Niemi.
Well, that was a really heady move by San Jose at that time, too, because they wanted both.
Yep.
And they knew by doing that they'd get one.
And that you never see offer sheets in the NHL, ever. Yeah, you remember when everyone thought that Shea Weber did get offer sheeted, didn't he, by Philadelphia?
Yes.
Yeah, it was like a 14-year stupid deal, and Nashville was like, okay, let's do that. Hey, they turned him into PK Subban, so kudos to Nashville. Oh. They ended up coming out in the end.
Here's another thing, too, that bugged me. I love PK Subban.
Yes.
But the opinion that Shea Weber, like, suddenly sucks.
No.
He's awesome.
He doesn't suck. I just don't like his contract.
No, his contract's bad.
Yeah. Like, 14 years for a guy who's that tall, he's going to break down eventually.
You would think so.
Well, look at Zdeno Chara.
Yeah, almost a hawk if you ask some people.
Freakishly huge man breaks down. Film at 11.
Surprising. It's funny that like those 9 foot tall people only live to like 30. You know, those people in the Guinness Book World Records.
Oh my god!
And those fat guys on the motorcycle.
Why are you burying Zdeno Chara right now?
I like him. He's still got a good 4 or 5 years left of life. I hope so.
Oh, man.
I like him, you know.
Well, this show took a dark turn.
Yeah, it does that from time to time.
Yeah, that's what we do here on the Madhouse Chicago Hockey Podcast.
Well, we have some emails. You want to get to the emails, or how do you want to do it? We can answer some questions. That was a good time, guys, while you're watching on a video stream at facebook.com/MadhouseHockeyChicago, I think.
Whatever.
So look for us on Facebook. Submit some questions there. We also have some from our typical email crew. So with that, are you ready for emails?
I thought you wanted me to do some Facebook stuff, or do you want to do it?
We gotta make a spot, James.
Fine,
play along here.
Fine.
We gotta make a spot to play the sounder. James, are you ready for emails?
I guess.
All right.
Email the guys at madhousepod@gmail.com or follow them on Twitter @madhousepod.
Let me whip this out.
Okay, Rush Limbaugh.
The email segment. Punch you in the face. The email segment, as always, is sponsored by our friends at the Black Oak, a newish addition to the South Suburbs. The Black Oak is a full-service restaurant and tavern located at 9630 South Pulaski in Oak Lawn. They serve breakfast, lunch, and dinner with hours from 7 a.m. to 2 a.m. 7 days a week. I am going this Friday for their fish tacos, which are outstanding. But they've got great burgers. They've got the steak sandwich with the Australian Wagyu. Wonderful. 13 TVs. You'll catch every minute of Blackhawks hockey and local high school sports now and again. So stop by for an outstanding meal and stay for the great atmosphere. Contact the Black Oak at 708-572-4500 or on Facebook at facebook.com/Black Oak Tavern. The Black Oak, the South Suburbs' finest casual upscale dining. And if you visit any of these businesses, please tell them the Madhouse Podcast sent you.
And see if they react in any discernible way. And let us know.
The Black Oak.
Yeah.
Lovely people. Especially John Zawoski, the manager. Very handsome man.
Jeffrey Darnold, whatever, keeps asking what my big career announcement is. Tomorrow. I will be announcing it tomorrow. I'm merely dotting I's at this point.
I don't know about this.
No, you don't. I'll tell you after the show.
Ooh, fancy.
Yeah, Jay gets to know before all you people do. Ha, ha, ha.
All right, email here from Craig. He says, you guys still miss Tavo? Bet not as much.
Accurate. Yeah, well, you listened to the show last week. Jay officially renounced his Tavo fandom.
I didn't renounce my fandom. I said I didn't want him back. And it wasn't for hockey reasons. It was for drama reasons. I just didn't want to go through the whole BS of being a Tavo fan anymore.
Oh, God. The pucking hostile guys have jumped into our Facebook live feed.
We're very sorry, everyone else.
Yeah, they're
on the
saying
feed.
Those sexy guys at pucking hostile should do this. Yeah, if you get a sexy guy at pucking hostile, go ahead and do it.
Yeah, let us know when you get one, and he's happy to come. We'll have him sit with us. He can wear the T-shirt and everything. We should do. And Scott Powers and Brian Hedger have been talking about having a podcast together. We should do that. We should totally do that. And this setup is great. I got a four-person table over there.
You really think you can get Hedger and Scott to come down to Homewood and do that?
If I give them beer and food, they will.
That's what you did for me. I've got Girl Scout cookies and beer over there.
There you go. And if Lassen's was open, we'd be there because that place is awesome.
What was that barbecue place that you mentioned that's in town?
Barbecue?
I feel like you mentioned a barbecue place because I drove past it today and I can't remember what it's called.
I don't think I mentioned a barbecue place.
Oh, well, there's a barbecue place in Homewood and you should probably go try it because it looks awesome.
I'm going to.
Anyway,
we got to get to everything. Yeah, we'll get there.
This is all irrelevant. Go ahead with your, Andrew Barker with a whopper.
It's not that big. Cut that up too.
God.
Andrew Barker says, on the Cholula hot take last episode, Jay brought up Panarin being a one-dimensional player, as over half his goals are on the one-timer. I wanted to see if this was true in regards to him scoring or as a total player. I would argue that his ability as a playmaker to set up Patrick Kane is second to none. I agree. He has 37 assists. That's pretty, pretty, pretty good. I cannot think of another line mate that has scared defense and goaltenders as much as the threat of Kane puck handling or dumping it to Panarin. Kane's first goal tonight, 3-1, on Fleury's 5-hole is a prime example. Just the threat of the one-timer causes teams to not double-team Kane.
That's actually kind of a fair point.
It is. Panarin is a fantastic stick handler and finds ways to create scoring chances, even if he isn't the one putting puck in the net. We'll see how the next couple of years go, but I do agree with Jay. At this point, I don't think I would pay $8 million or more for him at this point. I do think he's more than a one-dimensional player. I agree.
Excellent email, Andrew.
Yeah, definitely. I'm not... He's not a one-dimensional player. He scores in one way. That's all I'm saying. I'd like to see him, you know, drive the net and score, or get a breakaway and score, or find another way aside from the one-timer. But as everything you said is right, Andrew, as far as a playmaker, as far as taking attention away from Patrick Kane, I think Anisimo deserves some credit for that, too.
Agreed.
Because that guy has, since he's left Columbus in New York, has sort of grown as a player big time, and he's become a threat in the opponent's eyes as well. So,
We did get a couple of questions on the Facebook live feed. Telgood checking in again. What should the Blackhawks do at number 30 in the draft? Well, if they win the Stanley Cup, they'd pick at 31, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I honestly think right now what you're looking for is either a playmaking forward, a guy with some potential in that area because you can never have too many of them, or just keep bulking up on defense, man. You need so many blue liners, and I think that that point in the draft, you're looking at a lot of guys that'll be able to help you. And I'm making a solemn promise right now that I'm actually going to do a good amount of draft research this year, and I will have time to do it with my new gig that I'll tell you about tomorrow.
Oh, man.
Yes.
You're killing me.
I love it.
Just tell people.
No. I can't tell people until I have got everything finalized.
All right. Are you working for ESPN Radio?
I wish. No.
We couldn't do it then. I wouldn't talk to you anymore.
That's true.
Because you're my rival.
I wouldn't talk to you either.
No, that's not true.
You would pretend that I was from whatever St. Lawrence's rival is.
We don't have rivals anymore. We just win.
Yeah, I wish I could say that about BBCHS, but I can't.
All right, Josh Micah, who's also watching on the Facebooky thingy over there. We appreciate it, Josh. Have you ever noticed that Marian Hossa always says definitely whenever anyone asks him a question? Thanks and keep up the good work. I have definitely noticed that, yes.
I have definitely noticed that, and I definitely have not pointed it out ever, and I definitely appreciate your question.
You know, I have found a new vocal crutch of my own.
What's that?
I always say, guess what?
What?
When I'm making a point.
Oh, yeah, you do.
I'll say, you think, guess what? Blah, 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 blah. I do it all the time, and I need to stop it.
No, I don't think so.
I tell my students at IMS to not do that, to focus on your vocal crutches and not rely. I say, like I said, all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I say, we talked about all the time, and I say, guess what? All the time. So these are three things I'm aware of and I'm working on.
I kind of notice that, I guess, when I do interviews, like with my newspaper gig and whatever, you definitely notice when you use the same phrases over and over again in questions, and you kind of slowly try to get out of that mindset.
Yeah. You got one over there?
Oh, God. Ben Zawoski, who is now my least favorite person in the world.
Mike North, School of Radio.
I hate you.
Your mustache is stupid.
What did he do the other day?
His mustache isn't stupid, by the way. It's really cool.
Something with North. Oh, he's This will shock you.
No, I bet it won't.
He's a big Trump supporter.
Oh, my God. No way.
But he liked... This is what
it was. Is he best friends with Bruce Wolf, too?
Don't get me started. So, I told my mom about my Twitter fights with Bruce Wolf, and that was the most interested she's ever been in my career. It's like, really? You talked to Bruce Wolf? I'm like, Mom, I just told you me and him fight all the time. That's really cool. I used to listen to him. Thanks, Mom.
You have an opportunity for a plug right now, by the way. Jeffrey Darnold wants to know what IMS is.
Illinois Media School. There's one in Lombard. There's one in Chicago. There's locations all over the country. And if you'd like to start a career in broadcasting, there's no place I recommend more than Illinois Media School.
You clearly see what it's done for him.
Visit beonair.com for details.
He didn't go to school there. He teaches there.
No, I went to Lewis University, and they eliminated their adjunct program for the radio and TV department anyway.
Didn't they do that like a week before classes started?
Actually, it was a day before classes started.
I told my wife that story last night when we were on our way home from the casino, because we kind of took the same route roughly that I used to take to go up to Lewis, and I was like, oh, before they ruin Jay's life.
Wait a minute. You were in a casino in casinos in Joliet, and you did not go to Marishka's?
I didn't go until like midnight.
Oh, you bastard.
Yeah, I know. If it had been earlier, if I had gone during the Blackhawks game, you bet your ass I would have gone to Marishka's.
Yeah, all right. That's fair.
Yeah, because they have, well, I don't know how many TVs they've got. They don't advertise like Black Oak does.
The bar has several.
Yeah.
But the restaurant area does
not. And
they
force you to watch White Sox games.
Yeah, right, exactly. That's a reason to not go.
Okay, first of all, Jeff Oz, I agree with you that we have faces for radio. And second of all, you bring up Martin Havlat like I haven't already litigated that stupidity repeatedly. I am dumb. We know. Hey, look.
It's Martin Havlat's face.
Yep.
There you go. Martin Havlat's face on Marion Hossa's body.
I still don't think a 3-year contract for Martin Havlat and a 12-year contract for Marion Hossa, I feel like there is a discussion to have there with how long that freaking deal is.
You can stop defending yourself on this.
No.
It's over.
It's
okay to be wrong.
I acknowledge that I lost.
It's not a win or lose.
When your job
is to have an opinion, your opinion is not always going to be
right. Well, technically it wasn't my job then. It was a hobby. And now I'm better.
Okay, well, I mean, yes. And we all grow. And the more we watch, the more we cover the game, the smarter we get. You're allowed mistakes.
Paul Tobeck says he'll do almost anything for beer and food. I feel like we can take advantage of that at some point.
I have an entire winter's backyard full of dog crap if you want to take care of that for me.
You don't make Addie do that?
She has no desire to.
Well,
she will someday.
Who does?
She's got little hands.
Who looks forward to picking up dog crap?
But I think like the physics, it would be more work to have her do it than it would actually be just to go do it.
Fair enough.
Because, like, I'd have to wipe. Because inevitably she'd, like, stick her pinky in some poop, and then I got to clean her hand. And it's just easier for us to do it.
Fair enough.
Or if he wants to do it.
Yeah.
I'll give you a tater tot and a beer. Just one tater tot.
I'll buy you a poor boy from Marishka's if you come over to Jay's house and scoop dog crap.
I'm not making our listeners or watchers scoop up dog crap.
I am.
That's not cool.
Okay, well, and Hope posted on Facebook, hi, Dad. I'm assuming that might be from your daughter.
I think that's Addie. She's upstairs.
Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah, she just got home. Email here from Kevin Peek, one of our longtime guys. So I want your guys' honest opinion. I know we're still a little ways out before the playoffs, but if the Hawks remain behind the Wild and finish second in the division, it appears they'll play either the Blues or the Preds.
Much more likely the Predators at this point.
The Blues lost Fabry and traded Shattenkirk. They seem to be a dumpster fire in waiting, but still have Tarasenko. And the Preds, while Forsberg has been hot, and they do have PK, Rene couldn't stop a beach ball from finding its way to the back of the net right now. And against good teams, they seem to struggle. Who would you prefer they play, and why? If you feel ambitious, why do you want the Hawks to play? Who do you want the Hawks to play if they finish first in the division?
First of all, Kevin Peek stole my homework assignment.
Ooh.
Because that was what I was going to ask our listeners, is who do you think the Blackhawks should be rooting to face in the first round of the postseason?
I'm going to say the Blues.
I am going to agree with you. I would rather them play St. Louis than Calgary or Edmonton or Nashville.
I agree.
Yeah.
Edmonton's got great speed. They struggle against that. Nashville has more talent than they are playing. Remember how horrible of a start the Predators got off to.
Yep.
And they're not as bad in reality as you think they are in your mind. Calgary, anytime there's a young team that's back in the playoffs for the first time in a long time, they can be dangerous. I still think the Hawks would probably beat all those teams.
I would say they would be favored against all of them, especially because you would have home ice advantage against all of them, theoretically.
Yeah, but
other than Nashville, maybe. But you're 16 points up on them with 17 games to play. If you blow that lead, you're not going to do anything.
Yeah, and I think that the Blues are probably the most fragile right now as far as just how the organization's going. Like you said, they traded Shattenkirk while they're trying to win a Stanley Cup. I don't know what they're doing. I don't understand their plan at all. So,
and as Paul Tobeck points out, it's a little bit of a stretch to see the Blues making the playoffs at this point. It's kind of odd.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
I mean, you think about what they lost, though, and what David Backes meant to that team and to their identity. You know, he was a big part of things.
Mm-hmm.
And an effective player, even though he's hated in Chicago, and rightfully so.
Yep.
He's a good player.
Yeah, you lost him. You lost
Troy Brouwer, who's a huge part of things.
You lost Brian Elliott, too. Well, I mean,
Brian Elliott's the reason they beat the Hawks that series.
Yeah.
Let's make no mistake about that.
Yeah, Jay Gallen, whatever you want to call him.
Jay Gallen.
Yeah, nah, that's not doing that.
I had a good one last night. Ark Ellie.
Oh, my God. Good one.
You like that?
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, they were trying to shove us out of the bar, so they started putting bad music on the jukebox.
Mm-hmm.
And I Believe I Can Fly came on. Mm. And I said, it's Ark Ellie. We do that, by the way, if you follow me on Twitter, and why wouldn't you, at JayZawoski670. Me and my partner, Rick Camp, always do that dumb game with the name. Like,
oh,
I
your partner
did
on the Fat Guy podcast.
The I'm Fat podcast. Get
yes.
It right.
Oh, you mean with all the episodes that you've recorded?
It's coming. We do it just to annoy Shep.
I like
and
it.
And it makes him so angry. It's just a thing of beauty.
I have repeatedly said to Rick that you guys need to actually do an episode or two.
I feel like it kills the bit, though.
It might, or it might make it better.
Maybe.
I don't know, maybe. Man. I think it'd be hilarious.
Maybe. We'll talk about it. We'll discuss.
I do want to ask you a question. I have an email question from me.
Okay.
Which player are you more excited to see on the Blackhawks? Alex DeBrincat or Maxim Shalinov?
DeBrincat.
16 games in a row with a goal. Chris Cook was in the house last night to see that.
It's not a knock on Shalinov at all.
It's just Alex DeBrincat's insane.
It just feels like he could be, holy crap, we lucked, not lucked into, but
yeah,
second round pick?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's
5'5", 5'6".
Yeah, I'm going to look up his numbers, by the way.
He has 58 goals this season, I think in like 56 games. He scored in 16 games in a row. I want to say he has exceeded 100 points in all three of his OHL seasons.
Here we go.
Whatever league he's in. I might be an idiot here.
You are. In generally. The OHL, Alex DeBrincat this year
has gone over 100 points in all three of his OHL seasons.
In 56 games this year. 56 games. 58 goals, 59 assists, 117 points. Last year, 60 games, 51 goals, 50 assists, 101 points. The year before, 68 games, 51 goals, 53 assists. 2014-15, playing with Connor McDavid.
He is, yeah, exactly. That is the thing that I think stands out to me the most, is he got those numbers in his first season with Connor McDavid, and since then has only gotten better.
Yeah. 19 years old.
Yep.
Could be a thing next year.
Listed as 5'7" on HockeyDB. I don't think I agree with that.
Smaller or bigger?
Smaller.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Little Theo Fleury on our hands,
exactly.
Huh?
Exactly.
73 penalty minutes. 28 last year, 43 this year.
Oh, so he went Stan Mikita, and he like drastically cut his penalty minutes, and then they went back up.
Good for him. Bring him back up. Little feisty guy.
Yeah,
Theo Fleury, for all of his problems, was a hell of a player, man. Just so exciting to watch. That's the one guy, I think, as a fan that I wanted to go on the ice and assault. When I was more of a meatball fan.
How many games did he even play for the Blackhawks?
Oh, I'm talking about when he was in Calgary.
Oh, I was like, dude, he played like 16 games here, right?
He was always just such a shit talker, and he'd get into scrums, and like, no one would ever fight him because he's 5'6", but then he'd kick somebody or like elbow the goalie and no one would see it.
That book he wrote was fantastic.
I got to read it, man.
It's really good. You want to borrow it?
Yes.
I own it. I do. I will lend that to you.
I will read that.
We do need to acknowledge one of our listeners who and his wife just had a baby.
Who's that?
Jeff Hicks.
Oh, congratulations,
Jeff. Brand new
Jeff.
Bouncing baby girl, I believe.
Baby Hossa.
Baby Hossa. Name the girl Hossa. You shall get many, many endorsements. But congratulations to him. Jeff is an awesome freaking guy. Every time I've met him, he's been just the nicest dude. I have no idea what I've done to deserve that kind of nice treatment.
Nothing.
And can you know what? Congratulations to him and his wife. We're both awesome people.
That's awesome. Congratulations, Jeff. Thank you for listening to the podcast. And thanks to everybody who tuned in to our first ever Facebook Live podcast. That went very well.
I
was concerned. I could not sleep about this.
Was that why you were out drinking last night?
It was part of it. Okay. But I was just like, you know, I woke up because I didn't get home till like 1, then hoping I stayed up and talked till like 1:30. Went to bed. I got out of bed at 8 and just came down here, started setting everything up. This was ready to go yesterday. Thanks to Ramblin' Grimace again for making that for us. But it's just been, you know, a lot of me overthinking everything. And I think it went really well just from watching on a screen here. So we've had pretty good numbers throughout, right?
Yeah.
So we appreciate it. We didn't really promote this at all. We sort of decided last minute. I sort of decided.
Yeah, you decided like Friday night, which is how we generally do podcast decisions. Like the day before, we're like, hey, let's do this thing.
Well, next time we're going to do, we'll have a little more warning. You guys can be a little more involved with it.
I agree with Paul that we need to probably do this at least once a month. I think that's a good.
Totally agree.
Yeah.
It's good for you and I to see each other too.
Yeah. Because I feel like we yell at each other more when we're face-to-face.
I will ask this. People on the Facebook, respond right now. Could you hear us well?
Yeah, how was the
That was my concern. Scroll down so we could see the responses. Or give us a thumbs up or an angry face.
Responses, I think, pop up at the top.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah.
Ben Tallman says loud and clear. Well, that's wrong.
Loud, not clear.
Jeff Osborne did want us to point out that Shalinov had 0 goals in 20 AHL games.
That was a while back, though.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
But, and we also said to Brain Cat, so ha!
Yeah. Yeah, right. But I do think there is a shot of Shalinov coming here.
Well, they made it seem like he was going to try to get here this year.
Right.
And be here for the playoffs.
The more the better, right? You can never have too much talent.
It's true.
Yeah. All right.
Jeff Hicks said we echo a little bit. That's because we're in a basement.
Yeah, I'm in my basement.
Can't really. Sorry. Unless we like wanted to go to McDonald's and run them out of stock of like cardboard drink holders, I don't think that's going to be fixed.
Yeah, not much we can do about that, unfortunately. But I'll try. I'll try to figure something. Maybe I put like some blankets on the walls or something. We'll figure something out.
Cover up the terrible bobblehead of Alex Zhemnov.
How dare you, sir?
Dude, seriously, he looks like a leprechaun. That's just wrong.
He's a little too gingery. His hair was not that red when he played.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Like I said, I feel like he is a leprechaun, and I don't like it.
Yeah, it's one of my favorites, though.
Yeah.
I always love that guy.
Are we going to wrap this podcast up before we go off on other random tangents?
Yes, we are.
Okay.
The Madhouse Chicago Hockey Podcast has been brought to you by Triple Threat Sports. For all your team outfitting needs, call Chris at 708-478-6090. The Black Oak in Oklahoma, the South Suburbs' finest casual upscale dining. And, of course, our friends at Mariska's in Crest Hill, family-owned and operated since 1933. Thank you all so much for listening. Thank you all so much for watching. We will do this more often for sure on Facebook Live. Tell a friend. Make sure your people you know are following our Facebook page. Just look us up on Facebook, the Madhouse Chicago Hockey Podcast, and we'll be back with you. And like we said, this podcast will be available on iTunes very shortly. So if you missed it on the live feed, don't worry. The whole thing will be there start to finish in just maybe 20, 30 minutes.
Yep. Thank you guys so much for listening, watching, commenting. On a Sunday morning, we got a hell of a turnout, I think.
Yeah, I think so, too. So it'll only get better from here.
Amen, brother.
All right, guys. Thank you again so much for listening. Until next time, we'll talk to you next week. Have a great rest of your weekend and a great week. Bye.